Welcome to our Welcome to our Sunday morning service. Today's message title is Be Filled with the Spirit. Love your wife. Submit to your husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 33. Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 33. Long verse, although let's read. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. What a beautiful word of God this is, and how much this word strikes at very heart of all problems. Come to think of it, from the moment I was born into this world as a child, what I had always desired since childhood was to see the closest human relationship one encounters upon birth. That is the married couple who are one's parents, living harmoniously together. And also that same day, I too would meet a wonderful woman and become a loving couple with her and live as such. As far back as I can remember, I think that since about the first grade of elementary school, for some reason, I had always carried the desire to meet wonderful women and live a wonderful married wife life, and I often found myself lost in fantasies about it. The home in which I grew up was one where my father was remarried with four children, all of whom were in the midst of adolescence and quite troubled. And my mother, on the other hand, was entering her first marriage, and what's more, she married a Zainichi Korean man from Korea, making it, one might say, an almost international marriage. Well, even just putting that in two words reveals how unusual the situation was in many respects. And it's easy to imagine how difficult it must have been. A brief, turbulent marriage and family life began under those circumstances. Even such a father and mother, of course, experienced a major crisis of divorce, as many married couples do. I saw sense when my mother cried because of my father, and the scenes where my father made my mother cry. I also saw my mother criticize my father in front of us children. And yet, despite all that, I still think my parents were a loving and harmonious couple. When I saw my parents' Tom Marshall relationship, I would think, I want to become a couple, not like them. Someday, though I don't know who yet, I want to meet a wonderful woman and become married couple with her. And still, I must have unconsciously witnessed my father and mother admiring each other, trusting each other deep down, and joking together. And that became embedded in my subconscious. From childhood, I instinctively longed to become such an trusting couple, to live my life as a married couple in that way. Then, eventually, I came to believe in Jesus, became a Christian, and looked into Word of Bible, and I came to understand that this desire to meet a wonderful person, to become wonderful married couple, to build a wonderful home, is an instinctive longing that God has implanted in every person, no matter their past experiences or starting points. Moreover, I learned that this is the very field of blessing established by God. This is the sphere of blessing, the smallest unit of community that is most essential and important for human beings who live socially. In other words, marriage is not something that simply occurred vaguely within thoughts of humans, or as a product of natural world and its accidental processes. There was a clean intention. Marriage is a vital human institution that originated from God, that was ordained by God under His clear will. That is why the word we saw up to last week, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and out of reverence for Christ, submit to one another, is, I believe, first applied in practical field of marriage. Marriage is the very place where God's intervention must appear, where the fullness of the Holy Spirit is revealed, the most basic and indispensable side of spiritual blessing and practice. Also, what is interesting and fascinating about today's passage is that it is spoken by the Apostle Paul, who remained single his entire life. The Apostle Peter, who was the leader of Jesus' 12 disciples, had a family. The Gospels include an episode where Peter's mother-in-law, who likely lived with him, was healed of a fever by Jesus. So if such a man as Apostle Peter spoken to marriage, it would be understandable. But the Apostle Paul, who never married in his lifetime, speaks about the form of marriage, and that is interesting. On the contrary, it is precisely because Paul never experienced marriage with someone that he could speak as he did. Precisely because he was the Apostle Paul, he was able to speak about marriage solely based on the Word of God in Scripture. When I was a college student, a friend once said, if Paul really was single, he couldn't never said this kind of thing. I think Paul was actually married. But I couldn't agree with those words. Rather, I think it was precisely because Paul was single that he was able, regardless of whether he had experienced it or not, to speak not from personal experience or preconception, but to declare the Word of God clearly as God's Word and speak about the form of marriage as God truly desires it to be. I am only impressed again by the fact that God's way of using people always goes beyond our human expectations. Furthermore, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul himself points out that there are people who, like him, are given a gift of singleness. And yet, even so, he wrote, under the guidance of Holy Spirit, about marriage as the most straightforward, familiar, and important field for practicing the fullness of the Spirit. As the Apostle Paul teaches us about marriage, he refers to a word from Genesis that is indispensable when looking at this word from God's perspective, namely from the perspective of the world that God created. It is foundational word that shapes this world. In Genesis, the first book of Bible, the fact is recorded that the Lord God, with all his might and the zeal of the Lord hosts, created the heavens and the earth and all things in them in 6 days. And at the end of this work, he created the first man, Adam. As I meditate on such work of God, I wonder, what was God's purpose in creation? Did God create the heavens and the earth for himself? Or did he create the world for Adam, whom he created last as his own child? When I think about this, I believe it is the latter. I imagine that after creating Adam last, God might have spoken to him like this. Adam, all of this, I made it for you, to give it to you. This is precisely why God, with zeal and with all his might, created the heavens and the earth. Over 6 days, with all zeal of God, he created the beautiful garden of Eden. paradise, the kingdom of God. But when he looked at Adam himself in Genesis 2, we see an Adam who appears somehow unsatisfied, not very happy. Sensing Adam's heart, God immediately put him into a deep sleep. In the image of God laying Adam into a deep sleep, I see the image of mother holding her precious child to her breast, protecting him from all things so that he can sleep soundly and peacefully. At the same time, I imagine the peaceful face of the child sound asleep in the warmth of that embrace. Then while Adam was asleep, God took one of his ribs and created Eve as someone irrepressible and deeply important to Adam. The words Adam spoke when he first saw Eve, I believe, are the most beautiful words spoken since the birth of humanity, and are the most needed words for us humans and for this world. This is now bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. There is a book by Martin Buber called I and Thou, in which he writes that the most fundamental relationship he ought to cherish in human relationships in the second person relationship of I and Thou, or I and you. Yet he says many of us live most our relationships in the third person, not I am that person, now I and it. It is relationship where distance arises, and we treat people not as one being, but as things. However, Adam and Eve were not, of course, in the third person relationship. Now even in second person relationship of I and you, they were in the first person relationship, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. In other words, you and me. It is relationship of you are my very self, the most precious part of me. Everyone to see someone else and recognize that is me, to recognize a person as the most important me within the self, that I believe is the most fundamental answer to all the problems humanity holds. And in this safer world, isn't something astounding? One might even say impossible, beyond imagination. And yet, the Bible straightforwardly tells us the human world originally created by God in that way, and that this astonishing, seemingly impossible, once closed off path has now been opened again and is being restored. This is what Apostle Paul teaches us today through the passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And next, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submit to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Again and again, we see Christ in those passages. In the fear of Christ, as unto Christ, as Christ's love, because we are members of Christ's body, just as Christ recognized each and every one of us as his one body, as himself, so too, we are told that you also, a wife to her husband, a husband to his wife. This path has been restored and reopened. That once lost first person relationship word to a one is being made manifest in the relationship between man and woman, husband and wife, which is the most basic, foundational and essential of all human relationships. We are told that this first-person relationship between husband and wife is something that appears through Holy Spirit, and only through the God who is the Holy Spirit. This mystery, this truth that was never spoken of, nor thought, nor even imagined in the education system, humanity has proudly called high-minded, is now being taught to us by Apostle Paul, who remained unmarried all his life, guided by the Spirit of God, simply in obedience to the Word of God in Scripture. Now, the marriage relationship spoken of in Ephesians, one that exists only because of the invention of the Holy Spirit, a relationship that has been restored to its original form in Christ, a relationship where the once closed path has been opened again, is not suddenly invented religious term devised by people to spread a newly emerged religion called Christianity. Rather, it is the original form, the prototype from the first, from the time when humans were first created by God, as described in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, it is recorded that when God created human beings, he said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." God himself used the first person plural as in referring to himself when creating humans. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit used the first person plural as, not in the third person, not in the second person, but in the first person, and created humans in the first person image of God. In other words, the human beings was originally created to have a first person relationship, not a third person relationship, not a second person relationship, but one that exists in relationship with other within the first person context. Why is there conflict in this world? Why do we fight? Why do we become jealous, hurt others, insist on our own righteousness, rightness, and always try to point out others' faults? The Bible teaches us it is because human beings have lost the first person image of God. In the first man and woman, the first husband and wife, Adam and Eve, God established this first-person relationship, a relationship where those two, they are one. Moreover, when he said, "Let us make man in our marriage after our likeness," we breathed into both Adam and Eve the Spirit of God, the breath of God's life, and the constructed blessed first-person relationship that exists in God. That is to say, in Adam, Eve, and God, we also see the image and the likeness of one true triune God. And I believe it is only by discovering the presence of God within and among ourselves that human beings can recover their original form. Then, can the image of God be seen in our human relationships? Is the image of God found in our world today? Is the likeness of God seen in our daily lives? Is the likeness of God found in our relationship with others? Is the image and likeness of God present in the relationship between husband and wife? Once it was lost, but now it has been restored. This is the image of God in our human relationships through the salvation of the cross of Jesus Christ. And it is in man and woman, husband and wife, the smallest unit of society, yet the most important, most essential, and because of Christ, a first-person community in Christ. The sexes of man and woman were created by God. When God created humans, he created them male and female, and in the oneness of these two sexes, the Spirit of God became one with them and was present with them. At the very least, the Bible, though perhaps it is irrelevant to use the phrase at the very least when referring to scripture, the Bible does not mention any sexes other than male and female, and as far as I can see, there are no passage in scripture that affirm the existence of any other genders. And if there are sexualities other than a relationship of man and woman becoming one, then I believe these appear only in the Bible as evidence that humans, having sinned by rebelling against God, were cast out of the kingdom of God. The paradise, the Garden of Eden, which God had completely given to Adam and Eve as spiritual symptoms of sinners, appearing in Scripture only after they became sinners before God. I would be grateful if you do not misunderstand me. I am not speaking from this pulpit to discriminate against anyone in this society. Rather, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans, I want to share that we first need to honestly, directly, and sincerely face the foolishness, dullness, and emptiness of us human beings, who have exchanged the truth of God for lies, worshipped and served created things instead of Creator, and while claiming that these things are knowledge, intelligence, the spirit of age, freedom, or pleasure, we have been running this world. As humans who have forgotten God, we have created the world that twists the order God created. According to our wants, ideas, emotions, and desires, and conforming to the rhythm of the world, being stained by that world, it's praised with noble-sounding words such as rationality, freedom, and rights, all the while people are being led farther and farther away from God by Satan, who is jealously at work. While recognize this reality, we must live with the forgiveness, mercy, and love of God, accepting one another, submitting to one another, and I believe we humanity who have enthroned ourselves as kings must come to know this. In that sense, I believe the church is a hospital for sinners established by God on this earth. Jesus did not come to this earth to call the righteous or good, but to call sinners, to love them, to receive them, to forgive, to heal, and to restore them. And the church is a hospital established by God, where such people can feel safe and recover together. It is hospital necessary for everyone, a place of healing, where we share each other's pain, desire, healing for one another, and bring our pain together before God, a place of grace where wounded and hurting people gather together. People must come to know that this hospital of God exists here. In this way, I believe the foundation of all human relationship under the grace of God is this: that man and woman, husband and wife, each in our one role in Christ, as unto Lord, as Christ loved, and as members of Christ's body, love their wives as themselves, and respect and submit to their husband. Next week, I'd like to explore this point a bit further. Lastly, I would like to conclude by introducing one incident. Last week, I read in the newspaper what was probably the most shocking article I have ever seen. At a certain home, bodies of a man and woman were found, both covered in blood, which with several stab and cut wounds caused by a bladed weapon, dead together, and according to the testimony of a 5-year-old child living in that home, who witnessed the incident, Dad and Mom were fighting with knives in their hands. I couldn't help but pray for the Lord's help and protection, thinking, what will happen to that child's life from now on? How will they live? How she live? How will she live? And I was made to reflect my own self on how at times I too toward the wife or husband I love or ought to have loved cannot hold on to a first person relationship or feeling, and instead I'm ruled by, even willingly hand myself over to, not even a second person but a third person emotion of me and that, on the merciless image of us humans who have forgotten God. Finally, I'd like to close by reading the word of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, wishing the blessing of this word may be upon us and upon you all. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, first you created us human beings. You said, this is now bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh, and brought your spirit to us and created us. But we abandon the relationship, first person relationship, and we proclaim, we complain that man or that woman we are so full, we confess we created this sinful world, but Jesus Christ came to this world and you send spirit to this world and you said love each other and open the road to you. Now we are forgiven. Thank you. Dear God, we can construct first person relationship with the person who live near us, with Spirit, with Holy Spirit. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's sing hymn number 281 and respond to God. Please stand up if you can.